Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager for Southwest Florida. Over at the Royal Palm Association of Churches, we just love blessing, the Southwest Florida population as best we can. And I hope you enjoyed this broadcast, which we've been doing for a little over, 20-something years now, 24 years or so. What a joy it is to come together with you. And you know, if you've tuned in the last couple of weeks, we're doing a special series, a special edition, on the story of God and man. It's a 192-page, full-color children's picture book that is actually a trans-denominational version of the Shorter Catechism of 1648. The Lord had me pull this together over the last few years, and it's just a way for parents to mentor their children 7 minutes a night and build into them a biblical worldview, a classic biblical worldview. And in fact, it's divided into 10 sections, and each of those 10 sections of Q&As are also the lyrics of 10 songs. So through cuddling up and reading them a picture book and tucking them in at night, singing these songs throughout the day and in the car and that type of thing, it's a way to disciple your children, mentor them into the ways of God. So today we're going to go over section 3 of the 10. And as we do, let's just go before the Lord and as is our custom, to ask him to speak. And also, you'll be able to go to storyofgodandman.org to see a little bit more about what we're talking about. So let's go before the Lord and ask him to speak, shall we? Father, I'm just so honored to come once again together with my brothers and sisters to sit at your feet and gaze in your eyes and let you speak to us heart to heart. Lord, today, as we continue our journey through these 95 question and answers about you and your ways, I pray that you will just give us a glimpse of how much you love us more than we can possibly imagine. How we can know you, Lord. How we can follow you, and today, how we tend to miss you. So thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes that we see Jesus. We ask for nothing less in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. All right, in these 27-minute broadcasts, we are just going over the big picture of each section, each of the 10 sections in the story of God and man. And again, you can see that at storyofgodandman.org. The first week, we talked about the overarching thing about how to know God, and we looked at the first 6 questions there, answering that big picture question. And then we went to section 2 to talk about how God works, and we looked at the power of God and how he works through his powerful plans through you, through all things great and small, and by his protective providence. Well, today, section 3, which is spans questions number 12 through 16, it answers this big question about how we miss God. How we miss God. Here the Lord, our Creator, has put us together by his mighty hands, fashioning us into his image, put us in the Garden of Eden through Adam and Eve, and yet we missed God and his intention for us to follow after him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we fell away. So I want to unpack that for us. Questions 12 through 16 in the story of God and man, and discover 3 basic ways in which we miss God. First, we ignore his simple rules. That's one of the first ways of how we miss God. We ignore his simple rules. Question 12 in the story of God, man, says this: when God made mankind, did he give them some rules? God said not to eat from the tree there in Eden, one tree in the garden. Just one was forbidden. Isn't it staggering how God gave Adam and Eve an entire garden to choose the trees and the bushes to eat from, and said, there's just one that I don't want you to eat. It's forbidden. You know what? We ignore his simple truths so often. God gives us his simple truths. truths throughout the scripture, ways to live for our benefit, and yet we tend to botch it. We tend to miss the mark. And biblically, we call that sin. Sin is when we disobey God. It's when we miss the mark. It's when we ignore his simple rules. And of course, Adam and Eve did that. Question 13, did Adam and Eve follow God in their day? With their freedom of will, they did not obey. They sinned against God and thus fell away. That's number 13. But let me unpack this thing about how we ignore his simple rules a little bit. You know, in fact, one person put it this way. I love this. He said, you know, don't worry about what you don't know. Sometimes we think, man, I'm not sure what God wants us to do here. God is so big. He's so complex. And this is such a difficult situation. I'm not sure what to do here. I feel stymied. I feel stuck. Well, don't worry about what you don't know. Worry about what you do know. Usually there's some simple things that God has already told us to do, instructed us to do, and we just fail to get around to it. They are sins of omission. Things that we leave out. Things that we don't do. Things that we forget. Things that we're ignorant of. And so, when we don't do what God has called us to do, there are consequences. You know, it's not so much a punitive thing that if you do wrong, God's going to smack you around the room. You know, sometimes we have a harsh view of God like that, and that's not what it's like. It's more like this. You know, if you want a healthy garden, whether it's a flower garden, a vegetable garden, or some fruit trees, there's some laws of the harvest you need to follow. You need to water the thing. You need to fertilize it. You need to protect it from bugs. You need to protect it from the encroachment of mosses and other kind of parasitic foliage that can draw away nourishment from those items that you're wanting to grow. And if you don't do those things, if you don't cooperate with the laws of the harvest, you are not going to get fruitful trees or blooming flowers or a healthy lawn. It's because of your sins of omission, as it were, what you don't do, that you end up missing out on the blessing and the fruitfulness that God intends. We ignore his simple rules. God has a lot of rules about sex. It's only to be done within marriage. And yet, we have come up with dozens and dozens of ways to justify premarital sex and adultery and all kinds of different sins that I don't need to list here because the world does a very good job of that. But the thing is, when we start violating those things and start moving from sins of omission to sins of commission by doing things he specifically says not to do, well then, oh man, things kick in and we're in bad shape. We're in terrible shape. We pay the consequence. Our spirit dies. You know, over in Genesis 2, verses 16 through 17, the Bible says, "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it you shall surely die.'" Now, did they die physically? No. Well, eventually they did, actually. Of course, we know that. You know, it's 100% death rate in this country and all around the world. We're all going to die someday. It's 100% sure. But what he was talking about, his spirit would die. That's why he warned us. That's why he said, don't eat of this particular tree. But we ignore his simple rules. You know, and there's another way we tend to justify ourselves when we're actually committing a sin of omission or a sin of commission. I call it the game of respectability. You know, there are times when the Holy Spirit is just speaking to your heart, that deep inner voice that's saying, son, daughter, you know this is not right. Hello, I'm talking to you. And yet somehow, given enough time, the human mind and the human heart can come up with ways to justify what we're doing. We play the game of respectability. We recast the things that we're doing in a somewhat positive light, to feel respectable about ourselves, respectable about what we've been doing. It's an inner game that we play to justify sins of omission and commission that the Spirit is clearly saying in a still small voice deep within, this is sin. Stop. And my friend, if you play the game of respectability, you will never meet God in revival. Oh, let's not ignore his simple rules. And when we do, let's own it up and confess. Because when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, I just love that. Well, how do we miss God? Well, we ignore his simple rules. There was this one tree that was forbidden. And then secondly, we miss God when we misuse our free will. Questions 13 and 14 in the story of God and man, that updated shorter catechism, say this. Did Adam and Eve follow God in their day? With their freedom of will, they did not obey. They sinned against God and thus fell away. And then question 14. What is our sin into which we are born? When we disobey God and go our own way, that is sin, which will always lead us to stray. So we sin, we fall away, and we stray. We misuse our free will. God gave us free will to exercise. He doesn't force his rules on us. He doesn't force us to love him, force us to be devoted to him. He gives us free will to choose whether we're going to obey or disobey, whether we're going to do it well or not, whether we're going to respond to things or react to things. But he gives us the opportunity to do that. You know, I like what Chuck Swindoll has said. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we respond to it. So your free will can be used to make your life easier when you're in obedience with the Lord, or make it much more difficult when you're disobedient to the Lord. Selfishness, self-promotion, self-absorption, self-justification, self-help, self-pity, self-anything is sin. When we use our free will for our own selves, we make ourselves the God in our world, and things go south in a hurry. We misuse our free will. Let me see if I can illustrate this. Now, it is true, and let me just make it clear, that in this world there will be tribulations. Jesus said, you will have tribulations. James talks about to consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. Why? Because there's going to be trials in this life. There are consequences to sin that are happening all around us, and there's impact on innocent people because of other people's sin. It's just God allowing things to play out to arrest our attention and shock us into an awareness that sin is serious and we don't want to mess with it. So things like that are going to happen, but then tough circumstances and challenges are going to happen in our lives. You will have tribulation. So let me give you an analogy. It's like somebody walking over to you and grabbing some of your hair and just squeezing your hair. Now, I didn't say pulling your hair. I said squeezing your hair. Can you picture that for just a moment? If somebody just kind of took some of your hair, easier if you have long hair, obviously, and didn't pull it, but just squeezed some hair in their hands as hard as they possibly could. Let me ask you a question. Would it hurt? Well, no. They could squeeze it as hard as they can. In fact, people cut hair and it doesn't hurt. But if somebody comes and squeezes your hair like that, and you think it's a little weird, because that would be a little weird, what's your reflexive reaction going to be? You're going to start kind of pulling away from that clenched fist of hair. Now, when you pull away from it, now do you start feeling pain? Well, of course. But it's not because of their squeezing. It's because you're pulling. You're not cooperating with the flow of things of the moment. You're reacting to it and pulling away and causing pain yourself. Now, if you want to play that even further, What if you got so mad, offended, and appalled that this person squeezing your hair, you said, hey, what are you doing? And you just jerked back from that clenched fist of hair. What would happen? Oh, man. You would have yanked hair out of your scalp. There'd be a bloody mess. You'd scream in pain, and you'd blame the other person. Except for one thing. They didn't yank your hair out. They just were squeezing your hair. You're the one who had the overreaction and yanked away and caused the bloody mess. You misused your free will. Now, there are things in your lives and in all of our lives that are squeezed hair kinds of things. And to the degree we seek the Lord on those things, Lord, what's going on here? This is a little strange. I'm being squeezed here, but it is my hair. The Lord teaches us things like how a soft answer turns away wrath and how to lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him, and to be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. All kinds of things in the Scripture telling us, be at peace, be still, look at me, trust me, listen for my word, don't overreact, don't fight back. But oh, how easy it is to have that reflexive reaction to jerk away from pressure, squeezed hair, difficulty, challenges, tribulations in our lives. It's reflexive. That's what we do. And it's such a sad, sad thing to see. Oh, I cannot tell you over times, how many times in my 32 years of pastoral ministry and working with dear people over the years, how challenges would come up, situations would come up, you try to share it with them, and this the reaction that they have, and it's out of insecurity and fear and usually some baggage to some previous hurts and disappointments that just rear their ugly head. It's the open wounds that are unresolved. So when this pressuring situation comes up, it's like just a touching an open wound. Think about this for a moment. If somebody just touches your arm, but there's no wound on it, they just touch your arm. Hey, how you doing? They put their hand on your arm. Hey, it's good to see you. You don't think anything about it. But if you had an open wound there and they put that same light touch on your arm and says, hey, buddy, how you doing? You would scream with pain. And you might even say, what are you doing, you idiot? Can't believe you came and just it hurt me like this. Whoa, 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 whoa. I just barely touched you. Yeah, but look, and here's this open wound. Well, here's my question. Is the pain and reaction that guy's fault? On a scale of 1 to 10, what they did was, like a 2. You reacted as a 10. Alarm, pain, I can't believe it. Appall, look what you did to me. Well, wait a minute. It wasn't because of the 2 thing that he did. It was because your open wound had you stuck and vulnerable at 8, and so all it took was a little 2 to top you out of 10. And you see, you got to own your own baggage and condition and woundedness, my friends. And when people try to address it, maybe it's a blind spot in your life and they're trying to make you aware. And you might get offended. You're judging me. I can't believe it. Or they might bring up a tender topic. Might hit a tender spot in your life. Hit a raw nerve. I like the bumper sticker that says, I have one nerve left and you're on it. Well, now my heart goes out to that person. It's funny, but my heart goes out to that person. And there's so many that are walking around with open wounds and the lightest of touches, even bringing up a topic. No, don't bring up that topic. That's a hot topic. Don't bring that up to the boss. Don't bring that up to my wife. Don't bring that up to my husband. Don't say that to my child. They'll just set them off. Why? They got stuck. Something happened. They've got an open wound that on a scale of 1 to 10, their pain level is 8.5 or 9. So it doesn't take but even a mention of that topic. 9 plus 1 is 10. They're in alarm and they're in pain. So be gentle and tender when you're working with people, my friends. We sin We fall away, we stray, we misuse our free will. We get ourselves in all kinds of trouble. But don't look at them harshly and judgmentally and with frustration. And say, I can't believe it. You're doing this again. You're so much trouble in our lives. And you know what? Oh, gosh. All we, like sheep, do stray. That's why we need grace upon grace from each other. And one of the telltale signs that you're falling away, on the one end might be self-absorption and pride and doing your own thing, ignoring others. But then at the other end of the spectrum, poor me, self-pity, I'm always the victim. Why me, oh Lord? You're just thinking about yourself even at that place. Look up. Look way up. It is the Lord that we serve. It is for His glory that we live. And our free will is to be used to lift Him up and honor Him and be grateful for whatever He does in our lives and be ready to confess when things are spotlighted in our lives so we can be cleaned and we can be restored to intimacy and fellowship with the Lord. So, how do we miss God? Well, we ignore His simple rules. We misuse our free will. And here's the third and last thing. We swallow the devil's lies. We swallow the devil's lies. Let me pick it up for you in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. It says, Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Indeed, as God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, Well, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat or touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, You surely shall not die, for God knows that in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband, and he ate. Well, here we have the anatomy of how the enemy began with a little gentle spirit of distrust. Hey, has God said this? Is God really this? Well, God knows. Subtle accusation that you have been treated wrong. In questions 15 and 16 in the story of God and man, that trans-denominational updated version of the Shorter Catechism in rhyming verse, it says this, What was the sin of our first parents' fall? They were fooled by the serpent and followed his lie to eat of the fruit so their spirits would die. And then question 16, did all mankind fall in Adam's transgression? Since this very first sin, all our hearts are born wild. We get this from Adam as a baby and child. So here we have the doctrine of original sin, how we swallowed the devil's lies in the beginning. We continue to follow and swallow his lies today. You know, his lies create a false reality, and that's what he was doing here. He was saying, hey, what's this thing about God and you guys and all that stuff? And the woman was answering him. The serpent comes very slowly and craftily and begins to inch his way into her mind and get around and get in her head and just plants a little seed of distrust, kind of like poison ivy. The little oils from the plant get on your skin. At first, you don't even notice it. There's no reaction. But as it just sits there and you don't deal with it, it will have its destructive impact. And he accuses of God for holding out on them. God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So he uses these lies to create a false reality. Oh, God's cheating you. God's holding out on you. That's not true. By the way, I really have been intrigued by this quote I've got years ago when I was in college. We don't operate according to the truth. We operate according to our perception of the truth. But it still has the same impact as if it were true. It's as simple as a little girl in middle school who thinks her best friend is now ignoring her and hates her, but hasn't talked to her yet. But somehow she gets it in her head because she wasn't invited in the lunch line on Tuesday, that everything since then is pointing to the fact that her best friend has now just tossed her out in the streets. And it has its miserable impact on her until Friday when the best friend sees her. Hey, where have you been? I haven't seen you all week. Have you been around? I've been right here. I'm so sorry. I didn't. Good to see you. Hey, you want to go out this weekend? We're going to do this, that, and the other. And oh man, that girl lived in misery for 3 days thinking things were bad. The enemy got in her head. He uses curses. He uses cults, false religions, heresies, distortion, misperception, assumptions, inferences, gossip, flattery, exaggeration, toxic thoughts, caricatures, strawman ideas about other people and stuff. All different kinds of ways that the enemy produces false realities, which turns into toxic thinking that has impact on us as if it were true. It's lies, my friend. It's lies. Don't swallow the devil's lies. And when God sends people to help show you the truth that you may be blind to, don't resist it. Receive it. And receive God's truths and be healthy. Lord, we are so grateful for how, even when we miss you by ignoring your simple truths and misusing our free will and swallowing the devil's lies, you're ready to receive us back. Just like the prodigal son's dad had open arms to welcome him back and they celebrated, so you will do with us. Thank you for being that kind of dad. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager for Southwest Florida. You can find more at storyofgodandman.org. Till next time, keep looking up to honor and follow the Lord.